So we are up to Siman Tov Kuf Chav Zayin Tzivav, and we have been discussing the halachas of Eruv Tavshilin. We're going to be continuing with further halachas within Eruv Tavshilin. Again, the idea of Eruv Tavshilin is you may not cook from Friday Yom Tov to next day Shabbos, just like you're not allowed to cook on Friday Yom Tov to weekday to Tuesday Yom Tov to weekday, whatever. So similarly, also you may not cook on Friday Yom Tov to Shabbos. The only way around it is by having started the process before Yom Tov and just continuing and adding to that. And that's the idea of Eruv Tavshilin. If you start the cooking process and you have cooked something and done something before Yom Tov, and you're just adding a little bit on Yom Tov, that's permitted. That's the concept of Eruv Tavshilin. So Zevav is telling us the following halacha. V'soymech me'erev, that's page 298. You may even rely, if you've got leftovers. Adoshim means bean, shebishul akadera, and the leftovers on the pot. So Eruv Tavshilin does not need to be a fancy schmancy, whatever. It's sufficient just to have leftover beans. That's good enough. Even if it's leftovers of the pot, it's also acceptable for the Eruv Tavshilin. V'chein, similarly, halsham nunis, the oil, the leftovers, shenitbak besakin, the leftovers on the knife, what's that called? Residue of the knife, the go, and you scraped it off, it's also acceptable, the who, as long as you've cooked a kezayis. We learned yesterday, it's got to be a kezayis, and that's still true. But if the kezayis needs to be of superior quality, we're learning now, it doesn't have to be. It can be even leftovers from the pot. In theory, you're cooking something and you have leftovers. Yeah, that's going to be my Eruv Tavshilin. That's what I'm leaving behind for Shabbos. It's fine. What's that? Now, the Mishtabura adds something over here in Sefkot and Chof. I don't know if it's a chiddush or not. Please tell me your opinions on this. Second wide line. I think it might be quite a chiddush. I don't know how you're looking at it. Second wide line in Sefkot and Chof. Soymech me'erev yom tov afilu. Roitze loyma. The meaning is as follows. The content of the Shulchan Aruch is as follows. Roitze loyma. Afal pi although shenisharu shom, although it remains there, beloy mischavein, without intention, it remained there. These leftover beans, this residue on the knife, it's a kezayis, but it was left there beloy mischavein, without intention. Shalom aleichem, gentlemen. Shalom aleichem. Nice to have you. Beloy mihoil v'miboy yoim samach alein. What's that? Hoil v'soy v'hoil v'miboy yoim samach alein. So this was cooked in the first place without intention to be used for Eruv Tavshilin. There was no intention. So you cooked those potatoes, those beans, you cooked it without intention to use. But now on Erev, just before Yom Tov, you say, okay, I'm going to take these beans now and that's going to be my Eruv Tavshilin. It's okay. So it was cooked without intention, but you're using it now for the Eruv Tavshilin. That works. That works. So the point being, beloy mischaven, although it was done without intention, nevertheless it works. That's the chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch over here. Rabbi Yisai, Siv Zayin, bottom line of...
Does that mean that, was this dish prepared before?
It was prepared Tuesday, Wednesday, you name it. I made my potatoes. I cooked them and I boiled them. Now, I ate some of it, but now on Erev Yom Tov I decide, you know what, these leftover potatoes, I want to use this for my Eruv Tavshilin. You got a kezayis, you can go for it. Okay. Are we on? Are we on? Are you seeing me? Are we friends? Okay, good. I think they've gone again. Something dodgy over here. Okay, fine. They have to come, yeah. Okay, Siv Zayin, Abba Yisai, Siv Zayin. Mitzvah al... I don't know if you want to see to it. I don't know. I think they've gone. Mitzvah al kol odom le'orev. Now, Siv Zayin is an enormous chiddush. Siv Zayin is a very big chiddush. Because Siv Zayin is telling us as follows. If I would tell you, do you have to do an Eruv Tavshilin? Would you say, you have to make an Eruv Tavshilin, or you don't have to make an Eruv Tavshilin?
We just saw an example where you didn't
No, come on, yeah. Okay, my question is as follows. Okay, Siv Zayin Rabbi Yisai is addressing the following question. Do you have, new topic, full stop, new paragraph. No. Do you have to make an Erev Tavshilin?
No.
No. Why not?
You rely on the Rav.
Okay, never mind the Rav. You're going to the right place, but let's hold on for a minute. You're going to the right place. We're going to speak about the Rav very, very shortly. But for the moment... Yeah, so you're saying that, surely? It's fine. You don't need to make an Erev Tavshilin. Yeah, so in principle, so Rabbi Yisrael, let's see what Shulchan Aruch says. I think it's a very big chiddush over here. Mitzvah kol odom le'orev. The basic meaning of the Shulchan Aruch is, what did you, Rabbi Tepa, did you say something?
Surely you only need it if you want to bake or cook or whatever.
Yeah, so Rabbi Tepa says, hold on a sec. This is only to enable us to what? We want to cook on Friday for Yom Tov, right? What if you don't need to cook on Yom Tov? Everything is ready. Do you need to have an Erev Tavshilin?
No.
No.
Then you're unable to cook.
I would. Candles. Oh, the candles. Okay, we'll speak about that. Slowly does it. Mitzvah kol odom le'orev. The Shulchan Aruch is telling us, there's a mitzvah on every person to make an Eruv. Yes, you do need to make an Eruv. Now, next point. Mitzvah al kol godol ha'ir le'orev, and there's also a mitzvah on the kol godol ha'ir, on the greatest man of the city le'orev, to make an eruv al on behalf of kol bnei'ir, on the entire city. So there's a mitzvah on everybody to do an eruv, and additionally there's a mitzvah on the greatest man of the city to make an eruv on behalf of the entire city. Why? Kedeshis meich olav. That's in order to sort out and that's in order that to be a backup for Misha Shochach, for somebody who forgot to make an Eruv. Oinenas, he turned out to be unable to make an Eruv. Oi, or Sheniach Eruv, that he placed the Eruv somewhere for Ovad and he lost it. So he made an Eruv, he just didn't know where he put it. He had his huge mansion on top of a hill. And it's huge, you know, he's not sure, he's just no idea where he kept it. V'wadin, and similarly also, Amar Oretz, a very basic, simple man, She'enu Yudah, who doesn't know exactly, L'Orev, to make an Eruv. So we have got two chidushim Shulchan Aruch. Point number one is, everybody's going to make an Eruv. Point one. Point two, a Rav is going to make an Eruv. Because there is people out there that need an Eruv, and it didn't do it. So that could be somebody that forgot it, somebody that was unable, he ended up in hospital, Chalila, or he misplaced it, or Amar Oretz doesn't know what to do exactly. There's plenty of people out there who should have made an Eruv, but they didn't. So the Rav does it on their behalf. Big Chiddush. A Rav can make it on the behalf of those who didn't make an Eruv. Let's finish up Shulchan Aruch. Avol, but, Mishaev Shal Orev, somebody who is able to make an Eruv, V'loy Erav, and he did not make an Eruv, if he's able to. And he didn't. Elo Sheroy Tzelismach Al Eruvo, Shal Godol Ha'ir, and he wants to rely on the Rav's Eruv, Nikro Pesha, he's considered a negligent man, Ve'ein Yoytze Boy, and he's not even Yoytze with it. So that's the third Chiddush of Shulchan Aruch, that the Rav's Eruv is good for somebody who forgot it, who is unable to make an Eruv, or he couldn't make an Eruv. Then the Rav's Eruv works. But if you were able to, and you just didn't, you couldn't be bothered. You want to save yourself that egg. They've gone up in price. And that matzah also, it's just getting, the inflation rate, and it's just not the... So you wanna just save yourself that, you want to go for the Rav's Eruv, you know he's anyway making what? No, that you can't. You're Pesha, and not only that you're not allowed to, but in fact, you're not even Yoytze with his Eruv. So Rabbi Yisrael, again, three Chiddushim in the Shulchan Aruch. Chiddush number one, you've got to make your own Eruv. Chiddush number two, if you can't, you're unable to, you forgot, the Rav's Eruv works. And thirdly, if you can make, but you relied on the Rav, that's not good. Okay, let's see a bit more details on this. Sivkot and Chafalaf and Mishnebura. Mitzvah al Kol Godol. V'chen bottom line in Shulchan Aruch, page 298, in Mishneh Berurah 298. V'chen motzin b'shas. So we find in the Gemara, Shekama G'dol Amoraim, some of the greatest Amoraim, how you medaktikim b'zeh, they used to be careful. They used to make erev on behalf of others. And here comes an extremely famous Mishneh Berurah. Extremely famous Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot and Chof Beis. Mishneh Shach, somebody forgot. For Kol Zeh Be'Pam Rishon, that's only the first time round. Avalim Beregel Hasheni Shachach Oid Pam Avik B'Sheah. You're only allowed to forget once.
In a year.
Once.
In a year.
Once.
In a lifetime.
You tell me. How did you learn this Mishneh Berurah?
In a year.
How did you learn this Mishneh Berurah, Mr. Valen? I'm reading it again because I know where you're coming from and exactly where you're coming from. Mishneh Shochach, Kol Zeh Be'Pam Rishon, that's only the first time. Avol, but in Beregel Hasheni, the second Yontef, Shochach, you forgot, Oid Pam, again, Havakah Pesheah is considered a Pesheah. You're considered a Pesheah. You're considered a Pesheah. Shenika, because it's obvious, it's recognizable. She'enoi Choreit, he doesn't fear Lidvah Mitzvah, the Mitzvah matter. He doesn't care too much about it. And therefore it's considered like somebody's a Pesheah. So according to the simple understanding of the Mishneh Berurah, turns out you're allowed to forget once. So if you forgot once when you're 21 years old and you're freshly married, and you're somehow forgetting this idea of Erev Tavshilin, you know, Shana Rishon style, you're just forgetting it, and then you had to rely on the Erev of the Rav, so that will be it until you're 87, and you know, you've long retired and living in your nice flat in Netanya, still, you're not allowed to rely on the Rav. That's what it's simple to understand. Well, what are you saying, Mr. Berlin? What are you suggesting? You're saying that could be that it's
once a year.
Now, I know there's such a... Pardon? So it would appear that what? Within the year, but it could be... Interesting. She's saying it. So interesting. It's very interesting. Who agrees with that interesting understanding of the Mishneh Berurah? It's a Beregel Sheni.
Yeah, that's much more of the lesson,
in his lifetime.
That's right. It could be. I don't know. You're saying that what Oid Pam means. How do you learn? Abiyasla, how do you learn?
I learned that.
That if you forget it once, you've had it? Yeah, so that's like that. Like, so when we're going to be in our flats in Netanya, that's it. Still can't rely on it. Yeah, so I agree with you in terms of the svara, the rationale of the Mishneh Berurah, that I agree with you, that it sounds very, you know, that shenika she'eino choreit dvar mitzvah, that it's recognizable that it doesn't fear the mitzvah. So that would be very radical, that you've forgotten it once in your lifetime, that a second time is already considered that the mitzvah is not important for him. Evgeny, how are you learning it? Once a lifetime?
No.
Why are you learning it, Rabbi Tapper? Let's hear your interpretation.
The mashmas of the Lashon is, because it's too wordy. What does he mean? Aval em beregel hasheni shochach oid pam. He could have said em shochach oid pam, why regel hasheni? It's mashma only if you forget consecutively twice.
By the way, also, Rav,
I think that's the simple pshat Mishneh Berurah.
You can never cook on Friday again for Shabbos, ever again.
He cannot. So what it would mean is that he cannot rely on the Ravs. It seems ideally you're meant to make it yourself anyway. If you fail to do yourself, you can down the rope. Well, that you can only do that once. I want to tell you a story. Tell me if you can appreciate that story or not. I heard this from Diane Greenhouse in Zuntenstark. He told me that he remembers the story. This must be going probably according to. He told me this. I heard it from him himself when he was in Gates Yeshiva. I imagine it must be in the 1950s or perhaps 1960s. It was Gates Yeshiva. And it described to me how Gates Yeshiva worked in those days in dining room and in Shabbos and all that. He described it to me. I've forgotten the description, but the point was he was very, very squashed and he was very uncomfortable and he was very hot and he was very dark unless it was light. And here is the point. One Shabbos, they had forgotten to keep it was all eating together. Everybody was eating in. Everybody had to eat in those days. And they had forgotten the light, and it was very, very dark. And they were trying to, it was impossible to just eat. It was literally, the way he described it to me, it was impossible. So one Bach then was asked to go to the gates of the Rav of then. Now the gates of the Rav of then wasn't the gates, what we call, Dine Zimmerman, Zang Stark. And it wasn't even Lebal Melchaim Melchaim, the gates of the Rav before that was Betzal Rakov, Zichron Livracha, but it was the Rav before that, his father-in-law, and then it was Naftali Shukovitsky, who was the gates of the Rav in those days. So, and Naftali, so two Bochim went to him, and it appears that, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Dine Greenhouse was a Bocha then, he went to Naftali Shukovitsky, the gates of the Rav, and he asked him about, can we ask a goy to a Chilaiton? And then he said, well, it's Amir Lenochi to ask a goy plus switching lights and whatever. He made various additional soup. He said, yeah, okay, fine. Sure, it's pitch dark. You can't eat. He said, they physically couldn't eat. So the gates of Paskin, yes, you can ask the goy to switch the light on. Okay, so they did. A couple of weeks later, it was a mishap again. Here he was again, the light was switched off. It was impossible to eat. So they said, okay, listen, we asked already a few weeks ago. We asked the gates to go off, and he said, let's double check, but we know the answer already. So off they went again. So Dan Greenhouse tells me, they went to the gates to go off and asked him to, he said, okay, last time he told us, which, same scenario, same thing, yeah, can we switch that on? And he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. At this color, you can rely on once. But now, already, pardon? What are you saying? That what? That therefore, he said this. I see. So if somebody else would have asked, it would have been okay. I see. So he looked. I hear what you're saying. Somebody else doing it. So he looked at. Yeah. So he looked at it. He looked at. You know what? This is the cooler, but you can't. You can't. You know, if you've done it once, second time shows already. That was the point. Second time shows already. You are a bit negligent already. Okay, come on. You can't. Once it can happen. You're all humans. But a second time. Something's fishy here. It's a bit of a... So it didn't... He said it really didn't eat. He said it really didn't eat. They really didn't eat. Whatever the heta was, it was shvus to shvus, b'mokha mitzvah. It was a very... the abonons added together. You know, to ask a goy is the abonon, lights, tzorich mitzvah, tzorich rabbim. It's a very... So it sounds like, from what the Gates Law have said then, that it's not there's an added element of it. If there's negligence involved, then forget it. It's not bar mitzvah. It's not bad. Kind of, yeah. So I'm just bringing this in this context over here. I can appreciate that svara, and I can see it here as well. Once you forgot to make after shina, all right, okay, it can happen. Okay, fine, you're human. Okay, so round off. Second time round, okay, that's something fishy over here. Okay, so however your interpretation of the Mishnah Berurah is, I want to address now an interesting shaila which the poskim speak about, and that is, are you really obligated to make an Erev Tavshilin? So, what happens if somebody's really organized? Does it really mean that a person who has got nothing to cook, nothing to cook on Yom Tov, because it's all done, it's all ready, it's all in the freezer, in the fridge, all that, does it mean that somebody like that needs to make an Erev Tavshilin? Yes or no? Does that really mean that? Candles, very good. Now, candles is the discussion which we're going to see later. Do you really need the Erev Tavshilin for candles? So let's say you do. Yeah, so you're saying that you need it for the candles. Yeah, it's a strong argument. What do you mean for candles? You must do the candles before Shabbos by definition. And therefore, it's an element of, and you're making a light. And you're making a light, which is a melacha. So therefore, the lighting of the candles, according to Reb Gideon, and according to many Gedolei Achronim, you got to have an Erev Tavshilin for the lights. And the Emes says, if you look in the Nusach, we're gonna speak about it later. Let's look at Shag. We say it in the Nusach. Yeah. So fine. Lemaisa, please explain.
But it's still Yom Tov.
Yeah, so I suppose my scenario is somebody's completely organized and he's got everything ready and I don't even know, because I don't even know, even sure that Avodah Hashem will work for Achana. But even if it does, so let's talk about somebody. Truth is, you know, we can even talk about somebody who's got his light lit already. Say he's got a light lit already. Yeah, let's say. Okay. So does he need to make an Avodah Hashem or not?
Say what? To make more food, and he might be in a situation where he relies on the air and rub. We don't need mixture. That's why I was thinking.
Yeah. I think there's a Moshe about this. Similar. Emman says that Posh Pshat, this is probably the meaning of the first words of Shulchan Aruch. Mitzvah al kol echad le'orev. What does mitzvah mean? Why should it be a mitzvah? So it probably means that even if somebody doesn't. It's a support mechanism. Somebody, you know, wants to cook on Friday, so he's got to make an Erev Tovshin. But besides that, even if somebody doesn't need it, it's mitzvah le'orev. Mitzvah le'orev, even if you don't actually need it, but you're right about the candle anyway. Okay. Yeah.
Can someone make someone else's
Shia? Yeah, that's Mr. Wosif Kotten Chofei. Pardon? So therefore what? What are you saying? That if there's...
Would it still be a mitzvah for him to prepare?
Yeah, so that's what we're just saying now. That it probably is. Mitzvah al kol adam le'orei. Even if you don't need it. Why was it sad not? Because he was staying by you. Does he need to make it individually as well? So that will be, what did you say? Because Mishnah Berurah is going to address that point, I think. I think. So the Mishnah Berurah says over here as follows, Shlichus. Let's go to the Shal of Shlichus. Here is the words again, and I think that's very much the point. There's a Takona. There's a Takona. How do you translate Takona?
Decree.
That Call echot ve'echot, that every single person yaseh erev tavshin be'atzmo, you make an erev tavshin himself, whether you need it or you don't, you make an erev tavshin. The reason for that is she'zochol she'im yom tov leShabbos also levashel mikol shkem yom tov lechol. It's a remembrance and it's therefore a decree with the Rabbanon that one should make an erev tavshin. Now it comes up Gideon's point. Miu lav davku be'atzmo. It doesn't have to be him physically, the gentleman himself. No. The one didn't even manage shliach nami. A shliach works. You can appoint somebody to make a erev tavshin ubiyav. That's not the rov. Rov is a different aspect. Rov doesn't behalf of everybody. It's like a collective, generic kind of thing. We're not talking about that. That's not ideal. But if you appoint somebody like a very esteemed father-in-law, if you're still on talking terms, it's a very good sign that they ask you to be. Right. So the answer is, you can be his shliach. So there's no real need to. Yeah, mitzvah is a mishlucha. Perhaps. Because the mishlucha says, du adinim emane shliach nami, the shlucha shalodim kamoisoi. You can appoint a shliach to make your erev tavshilin. You may do so. V'loi bo edel afuke erev shel godl. Right. And that's what he says. So just the erev shel godl that you shouldn't rely on. Don't rely on the rav. But if you want to appoint somebody else to make your erev tavshilin, because the rav doesn't work mitam shlichus. Rav is more, yeah, then I suppose if it's not generic and it's not collective, but it's very specific, then you can. It's no worse than a regular shliach. The point of the rav is that it's some collective aspect to it, unidentified, not specific. That's why the rav's eruv is not great. But if you're appointing a shliach, the rav can be a shliach too. Because we're going to see in the next seif, we're going to see shortly that when you make the Rav's Eruv, he doesn't know about you and about you, who has made, who hasn't made, who needs my Eruv, who doesn't need my Eruv. It's more collective, more vague. It's not such a great Eruv. It's a bit too vague. So it's not as great. But if you were to call him, in your case, if you call the Rav and you say, you know, can you please have in mind, it's no different than anybody else you could call up. Yeah, but shliach, you're saying shluch shalom, a mitzvah b'yotzim b'shluchoy, could be. I don't know if there is such an aspect. Is there a mitzvah b'yotzim b'shluchoy by a mitzvah which by an eruv, You think there is? It could be there is. I'm not 100% sure because it's about having an Eruv done. Mitzvah b'yosim b'shluchoy. Perhaps. Not sure. So lemay said that this all, but you can halacha. We'll speak about that. That's later halachas. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, what we have discussed this evening. We discussed this evening the halacha of the leftovers, the residues are fine as long as you got a kezais. Point number one. Point number two, mitzvah kolach, everybody should make his own eruv. Whether you need it or not, you should make your own eruv. It's takanas chachamim. Furthermore, we learned the Rav can make an eruv for everybody. In fact, we see many Amoraim who made eruv for the whole city. That's fine. That's, however, only good for somebody who forgot, who is unable to, he misplaced it. He can rely on the eruv of the Rav. Somebody's able himself to make the eruv shouldn't rely on the eruv of the Rav. And then we discussed also how many times can you rely on the eruv of the Rav? Is it only once? I my understanding of the Mishnah Berurah, and that's what I've heard in the past, you can only do it once. Yes. But I hear a different interpretation over here, and I'm pardon?
If the Rav changes,
oh, I see. Okay, Yeah, I don't know. It's a din in yourself because you were pesher. So arguably, it won't make a difference if there's a new Rav. Next shaila we discussed is what happens if. If a person relies on the Rav without justification, he's considered Bishah and he's not Yotzer. Okay, this is the Lachas of this evening, and I wish you a very, very good Chodesh to everybody. Good Chodesh to everybody.